Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked? Locked? Hour number two of USA Prepares. Bert's with us for this hour, and we're going to be talking about 6G. Welcome, Bert.
Hello, Vince. How are you doing?
Really well. Bert, we're going to talk about something that is probably pretty controversial. People may not actually believe that that you actually saw this thing. And you want to talk about that or not?
Well, we can get into that a little later, if you want. I thought where we left off last week, I had been going through the various generations of cellular technology, and we kind of got sidetracked before we got to the next generation, which is upcoming, which is 6G. And 6G is kind of interesting because it does take us into new frequency bands. So I thought we'd pick up with that, maybe start with a recap of 5G, which is just now rolling out.
Okay, sounds good. Please continue.
Yeah, so everyone's heard about 5G, and I think the point we made last week was that although 5G is superior in terms of data rate and coverage and all those metrics, there was really no compelling reason why you should necessarily go out and have to buy a 5G handset. In other words, do you really care what the maximum aggregate capacity of your carrier's network is? Probably not. And if you can get a message sent in 10 milliseconds instead of 40 milliseconds, does that matter to you? Probably not. So in terms of what it actually offers to the user, 5G didn't really have any compelling value. What it does do is increase the capacity significantly for the cell phone carriers so they can add more customers and handle more data and more phone calls and all of that. Also, what 5G does is move into millimeter waves, so up into the hundreds of gigahertz frequency spectrum, which we're just learning now how to utilize effectively. And maybe the most important point about 5G is it adds a proliferation of very small, what we call micro base stations. So the idea is you can have, instead of, you know, on top of a cell phone tower every mile or so, you could have micro base stations literally every few hundred feet. I mean, as you enter an office building, there could be a micro, and there probably will be a micro base station there inside your office, inside large corporate campuses, school campuses, you know, maybe potentially eventually on every street corner, even a 5G micro base station. So what that does say is there's going to be a lot more radio waves all around us all the time. And that's maybe the most significant takeaway of what's being proposed at 5G.
Well, you know, for those who are concerned about being bathed in electromagnetic radiation, it's a wake-up call. Is there any stopping this?
I don't think there's any stopping it. It's going to happen. And, you know, the tests on what are the health effects and how, and you know, what could be damage to living organisms and things like that. There's been some studies. I'd say generally it's inconclusive, but I don't think there's anyone who says having more radiation is good for you. So, you know, I don't think it's good. It's the question is how benign is it and how dangerous is it? like most things of this sort, what you find is, you know, maybe 90% or maybe even 99% of the people it may not affect, but a very small amount of the population it very well could affect and cause harmful effects. So there have been studies, and mostly it's gotten signed off as safe, but you know, how good are those studies? And let's face it, the industry wants to deploy this. So as long as studies come through sort of inconclusive, then that's enough usually to have these things roll out, and that's what's happening. So I know
you mentioned,
you've had... Go ahead.
You'd mentioned two numbers, 10 milliseconds and 40 milliseconds. For our class who doesn't know what a millisecond is, would you explain that, please? What is a millisecond?
Millisecond is goes back to the Greek. That's 1/1000th of a second. Microsecond is 1/1000000th of a second. So we're talking about the difference in fractions of seconds on how fast the message might arrive. Maybe the only people who care about that are gamers who are playing for, you know, winning prizes, winning games where, you know, literally those milliseconds can make a difference. By the way, you brought it up on another show we had, but the other people who care are Wall Street traders. You might say, Bert, what Wall Street traders, why do they care about getting data 20 milliseconds faster? Well, actually, that's the way orders work now with the computer algorithms. They have literally built servers and trading platforms in buildings that are physically close to the stock exchanges, like across the street, simply to decrease the amount, and in this case it could be microseconds, of your order beating somebody else's order. So it's kind of like madness, but I mean, literally these trading algorithms that make, you know, could be fractions of a cent per trade, but they're doing thousands of them at a time. You know, it could be, you know, a trade a second or multiple trades a second, and skimming tiny, tiny fractions off of every trade. And you know, we can discuss how this all works on another show, but those guys care about the milliseconds. But you or I, or this phone call right now that I'm talking to you on, I don't think we care about a 20 millisecond difference.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. I just wanted to make sure that you discussed that so our class could have an understanding what a millisecond is. A millisecond is 1/1000th of a second. Okay. Please continue.
Yeah. So getting into sixth generation, so this is only on the drawing boards. Nobody's building anything other than testing prototypes and doing research and development. 6G basically continues the path to higher frequencies, and where we're going is quite interesting, is that we're taking radio frequencies up into almost up into light wave frequencies. So, you know, the electromagnetic spectrum is one big continuum from, you know, you can take 60 hertz AC that radiates off of your power lines. It's not transmitted wirelessly, but you can certainly receive it if you put, you know, I can just take an oscilloscope, put a piece of wire on it, and pick up the 60 hertz that's all over your house or even out in your backyard. So from those low frequencies all the way up to, you know, gamma rays and all kinds of cosmic waves, it's one big continuum of frequency. So sort of the no man's land that humans haven't been able to really understand has been the area between radio and more specifically microwaves and light. And there's an area there where we just don't have the knowledge. We don't have the test equipment. We don't have it fully characterized as to how it behaves. That's the area that we call the terahertz region. And for 6G, they're looking to utilize those frequencies. You might ask, well, why is it important to keep going higher in frequency? Well, the reason is is that information and the amount of data you can send on a sliver of bandwidth, you know, let's call it a channel, is logarithmic as you go higher in frequency. In other words, a 1% band of frequencies at a terahertz is a lot more capability to send data than, say, a 1% sliver of bandwidth at 1 megahertz. So without trying to confuse people, it's simply you can put more data into a small portion of the bandwidth as you go higher in frequency. So that's the real push to keep going higher and higher, is we can put in more data, have more calls, send more data, and even have higher data rates as we go higher in frequency. So what 6G is proposed to do is to, for the first time, utilize these frequencies that we're just now learning to understand between the upper portions of the radio spectrum, otherwise known as microwaves and millimeter waves, and light. And, you know, that is kind of exciting that we're pushing into that sort of no man's land of understanding for the first time from a commercial standpoint, not just from doing, you know, research and scientific tests in a laboratory, but actually trying to commercialize and utilize it for our cellular networks.
So as you were saying this, Bert, I'm looking at the spiral-bound notebook that I have on the studio desk, and that's where I take notes and during the broadcast. And I was reflecting about the wavelengths as you were talking about higher and higher frequencies, and I was thinking about the analogy between when I learned how to write in school. We had these elementary, I'm maybe talking first grade, lined sheets of paper, and there were big widths, large widths between the lines. And as I got older and got into the college-ruled lined piece of paper, the lines get closer and closer together. Now, the idea is, you know, when I was learning how to write, the characters that I might have been writing on a piece of paper might have been an inch tall each. Well, now these lines, you know, are each character that I'm writing is much, much smaller. So that being said, I'm thinking that with frequencies, the higher up we go in frequencies, the lines of the page get smaller and smaller and smaller, and we can fit more words on a line because the lines are smaller, the characters are smaller, everything is smaller, so you can fit more in the same size page. That's kind of an analogy like you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, you just have to write with much finer script.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And be more clever and squeeze out more white space, you know, so there's less white space between the characters, yes.
Yeah, and you could also say you have to pay attention to having more precision, because whatever noise, think of it as wobble on your pen as you write, or just, you know, the ink splattering off sideways, that becomes more and more critical as you start getting a finer and finer point and finer script. So everything has to be more precise. And that's a good analogy. I never thought of it, but that's exactly what we have to do as we get higher and higher in frequency. We have to pay attention to those things, whereas in lower frequency, we can be more sloppy.
Mm-hmm. Like analog, we can be more sloppy, right?
Well, ultimately, everything's analog, ultimately.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, I understand that, and maybe someday we should talk about, you know, the sine wave and the approximate sine wave. But then we'll be right back. Bert's with us.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me, and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem, and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252, 800-296-1252, 800-296-1252.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Bert's with us, and he's our senior science instructor. He's a patent holder. And he's a designer of radio frequency equipment in Silicon Valley. He's a consultant to the largest of the large corporations. When they run into trouble with their designs, they ask Bert for assistance to fix them. Bert, please continue your discussion about 6G.
Yeah, so 6G is going to be quite interesting because we are going to move into that frequency spectrum, otherwise known as terahertz, where it's basically in the area between light and radio wave. And, in fact, weren't even sure how we would do the antennas or the, let's say, transducers if it was light frequencies. You know, as you look at radio waves, your antenna is generally something like a quarter wavelength or a half wavelength, and that varies anywhere from, you know, in the AM broadcast band, literally to hundreds of feet. If you've looked at radio towers for your local AM broadcast station, you know, those are, the whole tower is actually the antenna. And in many cases, that's several hundred feet up into the air. And that represents a quarter of the wavelength. Then as we get into things like, TV frequencies, when we had over-the-air broadcast TV, we might get into wavelengths that are, 6 inches or maybe a foot or so, so quite a bit less. Then as we get into microwave, we're talking about an inch or less or fractions of an inch. So when we get into terahertz and light waves, there really is no such thing as a half-wave antenna because you couldn't really build it properly. It's just such a small fraction of an inch. So we have other types of ways to pick up the signals. But what's interesting how we're going to do it in terms of, you know, what are the transducers to pick up devices. You can't just have a multi-wave antenna that's going to go all the way from, let's say, 1 gigahertz up to 1 terahertz. There's no antenna that can cover that wide a spectrum. So we're experimenting with things. And it might be at first, what's likely is your phone itself probably won't communicate at 1 terahertz. But the base stations themselves, the micro base stations, they'll relay the signals and communicate with each other at those frequencies. And also that's pretty much how 5G is anticipated to work up in, let's say, the hundreds of gigahertz region. It's most phones will not likely have the ability to work at 300 gigahertz, but the micro base stations themselves will have a more advanced, technologically advanced antenna that can talk to each other at 300 gigahertz, and you would relay the signal from micro base station to micro base station effectively, or from micro base station to aggregator, you know, larger base stations that then connect the fiber optic line and into the internet. So it's very interesting what we're doing at 6G, moving into these new frequencies.
You know, as you say this, I was thinking about something that we discussed many, many years ago, and that is that we are starting to hit the wall, if we haven't already hit it, in terms of microprocessor design. And the idea is that if you want to make a faster processor, you have to make all the circuitry closer and closer together. So the travel time is less, and the travel distance is less for the electrons. But we're having trouble making the circuitry within the integrated circuit, the central processing unit, smaller and smaller because our machinery can't do it. Isn't that right? Isn't that where we are? We've kind of hit the wall, and that's why computers that used to be, let's say, 8 megahertz, and then they went to 16, and then they went to 25, and 33, and 40, and 100, and then 333, and 500, and 700, and 800, and 1,000 megahertz, and then, you know, went to the gigahertz, and it kind of stopped around 3 gigahertz, didn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting is every time we thought we hit a limit into how small the architecture of integrated circuits could get, we've been able to push it just a little further. But we are at a point where, you know, we might have hit kind of as small as things can get. But what's interesting is, believe it or not, there's talk now of biological computers doing biological cells. So there's fascinating things happening in terms of melding what might be microelectronics.
How much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Top diplomats for the United States and China had a public blow-up in front of reporters Thursday as the two global powers met in Anchorage, Alaska to discuss policy and attempt to restore ties. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and his Chinese counterpart Yang Jiechi go at it.
We'll also discuss our deep concerns with actions by China. Each of these actions threaten the rules-based order that maintains global stability.
So let me say here that in front of the Chinese side, the United States does not have the qualification to say that it wants to speak to China from a position of strength.
UCLA men's basketball showed plenty of moxie over Michigan State in a first four game in the NCAA tournament. The Spartans blew an 11-point lead as UCLA wins in overtime 86-80. The victory was at Mackey Arena on Thursday night. USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least four times per day and inject insulin at least three times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Diamondbacks pitcher Zach Galen tells MajorLeagueBaseball.com about finding a new home in Arizona.
I think so, yeah. You know, it's when you get traded, it's that weird feeling of, you know, am I wanted here? Is it a business? Whatever it is. But, you know, I love being here. The org, the guys, you know, everything I think just kind of fits my style.
Zach explains how ball placement is more important than speed.
Yeah, I think it's just something, you know, I grew up, I didn't throw hard at all. Had a late velo spike. I think it was my junior year, so for me it's always just kind of been, you gotta learn how to pitch, you gotta learn how to mix pitches. You know, I think it was kind of funny back in the day, that was almost a slight of, you know, they were like, always gonna have to mix pitches, but for me, I just think it was a chess match when I'm out there, just trying to outsmart the hitter, and use every weapon I have.
Zach's pitching strategy appears to be being predictably unpredictable.
I mean, for me, I just love, you know, different sequences that are outside the box, really. That started back in 19 with Brian Holiday in New Orleans. You know, he was just calling some pitches in different counts that I probably didn't, you know, necessarily think about, and then just went from there. So for me, it's just trying to keep the guys on their toes, not get too predictable, and you know, just stay down in the zone, go up when I have to, and let everything else work off of that.
The Diamondbacks and Brewers mix it up today in spring training, 4:10 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Why today? God, you're
take my
when you got
the for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
You know, in some respects, Bert, some of this technology is been around for a while. When I was in elementary school, back in the 60s, I competed in the science fair. And I built a talk on a light beam model. And it actually worked. Literally what I did was, it was all analog. I took a microphone and I modulated audio, you know, a person's voice, amplified it, and transmitted it over over a incandescent light bulb. It's all very primitive stuff. And remember, almost 60 years ago. And so I modulated my voice from a microphone, amplified it, and used a parabolic reflector and an incandescent light bulb, and put my voice on a beam of light, and picked it up with a photocell at the other end, and demodulated that amplified it and played it through a speaker, and it absolutely worked. And I was fascinated by lenses that I had, and I could put a red lens, a blue lens, a green lens, a yellow lens, etc., in between, and it would still modulate the and transmit my voice over this beam of light. And believe it or not, it won first place in the science fair. But we're talking about that was almost 60 years ago that I was experimenting with moving information, if you will, analog on a beam of light. Now, what you're talking about is way more sophisticated. And it, you know, what I did doesn't even compare. But the concept of moving information, if you will, over a light beam has been around for quite a while.
Yeah, I think the issue with you is basically very low information rate. In other words, your voice is effectively, I know it was analog, but it's not a very high data rate, if we could call it data. But what's interesting is there have been a lot of work in actually some products that propose to send internet signals over LED light bulbs. And there are some products you can buy, and the problem is the standards aren't really there. And what's interesting is, although it is effective and it does work, as radio waves and cellular and Wi-Fi has improved so significantly over the last few years, the actual performance of what we can achieve doesn't really compare. So, you know, perhaps if we had done it earlier, it would be more prolific. But it's very easy to modulate LED light bulbs with very high data rate, much higher than you can do in an old-fashioned tungsten light bulb. And I know we did on previous shows talk about the advantages of LED lighting. Well, another advantage that we may have not mentioned back then was that you can modulate it and send data over that same LED light, and it doesn't really affect the brightness. Light bulb will work fine, but you can have a data signal going over it.
Yeah, and some people might be concerned about us being programmed by, you know, these signals that we really haven't had a lot of experience with. So I would like to, I'd like to go back to 1950 or 1960 myself. And Bert, believe it or not, I'm technologically resistant. I'm dragging my feet with a lot of these things. And I'm really concerned. I'm concerned about a lot of things we're doing, like nuclear power. I mean, gosh, a lot of accidents. All the reactors are leaking. Frankly, money seems to be driving a lot of what is happening in our future and what's happening in our current environment. And I'm very concerned about it. But please continue with your discussion of 6G.
Yeah, so the other thing that 6G brings, which is another fascinating aspect of it, or will bring, I should say, because it's still basically on the drawing board, is integrating satellites into the network. So for the first time, your signal from your cell phone could go to a satellite, or probably, again, more likely, the micro base stations themselves will be talking to satellites. Although, you know, we already do have satellite phones. I know we've talked about them for hikers and people who are out in the middle of nowhere where you might not have access to cellular networks. You can put up a signal to the satellite, and they're quite inexpensive now. There's some that you can just use for making normal phone calls, but the one most hikers get is just an emergency beacon where if anything happens, you can make a emergency call, or more accurately, send an emergency signal through a satellite network. And that's important for a lot of people that are out in the middle of nowhere. And by the way, even if you could see a cellular site, a lot of cellular base stations are designed so they intentionally will not communicate if you're within a certain distance of the cell site, and that's by design. So that, you know, for instance, if you're flying in an airplane overhead, you can't start, you know, screwing up with all the cellular sites that you're flying over, or just to kind of contain the signal set that they have in any given cellular base station. Most of them do have limitations on distance, even if you could see them and reach them with your signal.
What about all the noise that is coming from all of these electronic devices? I know that the planet is now so noisy that we're having difficulty receiving signals from outer space and even listening to them. Do you have a concern about all of this pollution, this unseeable, non-visible electromagnetic pollution? Are you concerned about that?
Well, I think you have to be, because we don't really know what the effects are going to be. Human beings haven't had this much electromagnetic energy to deal with in the past. Although, I'll give you one big caveat, is you do know what the most massive generator of electromagnetic energy is.
Sure. Right? And I believe everybody in the class knows it's the sun.
Yeah. So the sun emits a very broadband electromagnetic energy, basically not just the light that you see, but all the light frequencies you can't see, plus radio waves. You know, you and I have worked in satellite communications before, and one of the limitations is if your antenna can see the sun or even, you know, sun reflected off the ground in some cases, that can black out your signal because the sun is such a strong emitter of, you know, microwave and pretty much broadband all of the electromagnetic spectrum. So we have lived under the sun, and it seems to be fine. In fact, not only that, we know a little bit of sunshine is good for you. You know, it's come out with COVID and everything that the sun creates vitamin D in your body, which is very healthy.
So who's pushing 6G? Is it venture capital? Is it small entrepreneurships that think they have a niche that they can fill with some technology and products and sales and ultimately become fabulously wealthy? Who actually is pushing this?
Well, it's just the momentum of the industry. Basically, people looking for higher data rates, faster speeds. It's just sort of like a freight train of progress that's hard to interrupt, even as you know, I've mentioned many times that my phone does everything I need for it to do, but yet there seems to be a push for higher data rates, higher bandwidth, and probably most important of all, more users doing more things. So to answer your question more directly, I think it's probably more big business than entrepreneurs. And with 6G, you can throw in the satellite industry, people that are working with you know, adding satellite communications into the mix for what will provide the grid and the backbone and the interconnectivity for our next generation internet.
You know, I was thinking about something that we discussed over the years, and that's you going up on top of the mountain, looking down on Silicon Valley, and measuring the background microwave radiation. And at one time, back in the, well, let's say close to the 80s, you measured that it peaked, the microwave radiation peaked in the morning, you know, like breakfast time, and it peaked at lunchtime, and it peaked at dinner time. And that was because people were using their microwave ovens to cook. And then you found out that, you know, years later, that the whole floor of microwave radiation had increased, and it was like 24 hours a day almost compared to just, you know, three peaks, breakfast, lunch, and dinner time. And what do you think it's now, you know, looking at this, let's say, 40 years later, 41 years later? What do you think has happened?
Oh, it's much higher. Yeah, Vince, that was back in the 90s. I was up on a mountaintop. We were working on a 2.4 gigahertz system, and 2.4 gigahertz for the class is the frequency that most Wi-Fi signals use, and coincidentally, it's also the frequency that microwave ovens operate at. And we've noticed that our signals were getting blacked out by an increase in the noise floor around lunchtime as we were working up there. we finally figured out what was happening is we looked down from the mountaintop into the valley. It was Silicon Valley, that the noise floor went up by anywhere from 10 to 20 dB at lunchtime. It was basically thousands and thousands of microwave ovens leaking out very tiny signals, but they would add up. And then, as you mentioned, years later, everything was just higher because there was so much Wi-Fi that masked, that Wi-Fi noise then masked what you saw happening with the microwave oven. So now it's high, as you said, at all frequencies, but still most pronounced at 2.4 gigahertz.
You know, early in the broadcast, you mentioned something that I wanted to go back to. And I'm paraphrasing. And you mentioned you could take a piece of wire and attach it to an oscilloscope, and you could pick up 60-cycle frequencies from household wiring, business wiring, etc. Well, and that would be, that's the frequency, 60 cycles per second, also known as 60 hertz. That's the frequency at which alternating current in the United States operates. What I believe you've met, what you were saying, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe you can elaborate this to the class a little bit better. By saying take a piece of wire and put it on the, you know, attach it to an oscilloscope, what you're saying is you get a piece of random length of wire and attach it to an oscilloscope probe. Now that random length of wire becomes an antenna, and it will pick up frequencies that are in the air that can reach that piece of wire attached to the oscilloscope probe, and you can look at the frequencies that it picks up on the oscilloscope screen. And what I believe you were saying is, in the air, there are all kinds of frequencies, and an easy one to measure is 60 cycles, just coming out of your wall wiring. Is that what you were saying?
That's exactly what I was saying, and that's the strongest signal.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back with Bert Bertonis, Silicon Valley, California, radio frequency engineer, patent holder. We're talking about 6G. We'll be right back.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast that we would be discussing something that would probably be pretty controversial, something that Bert had a chance to see. And, Bert, do you want to mention that now?
Sure. And so it does potentially tie into 6G and terahertz. So I think I've mentioned before that kind of an interest of myself has been investigating UFOs and the phenomena, and I don't think we've reached any conclusions, but you and I have both been involved in that field. So let me say that a couple of years ago, I received a phone call from a fellow UFO researcher who many of the listeners might recognize, Jacques Vallée. He's a friend of mine, and also, believe it or not, was a investor in one of my early companies, because Jacques is also a venture capitalist in Silicon Valley. But he's also the person who the French scientist in Close Encounters of the Third Kind was role modeled after. So I received a call from Jacques that he had something interesting to show me, and he came over with a piece of metal. And basically, the idea was to try and figure out what it was from and what the characteristics were. And as I looked at it, I realized that it didn't have anything that I could help with. You know, in my lab where we have radio equipment that can cover, you know, all the way up to microwave and very high microwave region. But it seemed to have characteristics or potentially characteristics that went into perhaps the terahertz region. So Jacques and I met over at a local company that's involved in photo optics, and I don't want to mention the company, but we met with the CEO of a major Silicon Valley company, and they took over the project because it became clear that this piece of metal had effects in the terahertz region. And it was basically, we did know what it was made of. It was made of magnesium and zinc with a small amount of bismuth. And we were able to, or other people were able to analyze that chemically. But it looks like it had some purpose to use in the terahertz frequency region, of which we still haven't determined. But this company that's involved in photo optics, very interesting field, basically took over the research for this particular piece of metal.
And did you use, were you trying to measure resonant frequencies to see some of the characteristics? Is that one of the techniques that you used?
Exactly. In other words, we could generate signals and apply it either directly, conductively to the piece of metal or through antennas to the piece of metal. And it seemed to definitely have an effect, not at radio frequencies, but up to this region that's halfway between, again, between light and microwave. And what was it used for? Was this an antenna from a some type of craft? That would be a good guess. But we're still analyzing it, and it's a very fascinating piece of debris that we can discuss it in another show, but it was a piece that was recovered from Roswell in 1947. Piece that the government didn't collect and take, that one of the ranchers had kept.
Okay, so this is from 1947, the crash at Roswell, yes?
That's correct.
Okay, and would you explain for our radio broadcast class what resonant frequency is so they can understand that?
Well, basically, and when I say resonant, let's just say it had effects. In other words, it would either, an antenna would be resonant at a certain frequency because it could capture that frequency, and then if it's an antenna, it transforms it from an electromagnetic wave to a conductive wave. That's how a traditional radio antenna works. I mean, you can take it out of the air, so to say, and put it on a piece of wire or a piece of microstrip circuitry. So you can test that by simply generating those signals and then measuring conductively what you see. And when we did it on this piece of metal, it seemed to respond, again, in frequencies in the terahertz region. That's where it would have characteristics, where it would do things, where it would become conductive. So very fascinating.
Maybe we can say it this way, class. So you've all been on a swing set, and you know that when you're on a swing set, you know, as a child, you would have to pump your legs and you'd have to get a certain rhythm. And if you got that exact rhythm, you could go higher and higher and higher. And that is the frequency of the swing set. Now, if you try to pump at a different frequency, it won't work. You will not get higher and higher and higher on that swing set. So that would be what I would consider the resonant frequency of that swing set. Bert, any comments in the last 5 seconds?
No, that's a good way to put it, Vince. And I think if listeners are interested, we can discuss this more on another show.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, class, if you're interested, send an email to instructor@usaprepares.com. Let us know what you'd like us to talk about, and we'll be glad to do it.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last, and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free. 2020safe.net.